Good morning. This is Tracy Hales-Vass with Right on Four Corners. Today, I'm excited to again talk with Margaret Cheesbrough about her children's book, If I Were a Tree, What Would I Be? Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Tracy.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I really loved your new little children's book, If I Were a Tree, What Would I Be?
Oh, thank you.
It's short, but really clear, and it makes you feel really good.
Oh, good.
Tell me about the book and why you wrote a children's book.
Okay. Well, some time ago, I was going to get some kind of alternative health work done by a retired RN who had, ever since she was a child, she had heard angels speaking to her. And she had developed, with their help, as she understood the process, this ability to help people heal. And sometimes she would get these thoughts, these messages, or whatever you might want to call them. And at the end of a session, she said, I'm being told that you are going to write another book. And I have the title. It's If I Were a Tree, What Would I Be? And so I sat with that for, probably a couple of years. I would start out trying to write it. If I were a tree, I would be a teacher. If I were a tree, I would be a doctor. If I were a tree, I would be a soldier. It just totally fell flat. And so I thought, well, okay, maybe I'm being given the opportunity to write this book, but it's just not gelling for me. And then one day, a friend and I had a booth at the Whole Expo in Durango, which occurs the weekend after Labor Day every September. And I was selling my other two tree-related books there. And people were coming by the booth and telling me how much they love trees. And I mean, they were just, you could tell how delightful trees were to them and how much they really enhanced their lives. And so I was just glowing with all of this. You know, it just felt so good to me because I love trees too. And in a lull in the there weren't so many people going by our booth. And so in that lull, I was just sitting there and the thought sort of popped into my head, if I were a tree, I would be your friend. And oh my gosh, that night I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I started writing. And the next day, I finished the book.
Oh, it was done.
And, of course, there were little editing things and that went on. And I had a friend later after I had completed the manuscript who said, you read that over the phone to me. So I read it over the phone, and I could tell there was one place where the two words just didn't sound good together. But it was, that's how fast it came together once I understood what the concept was supposed to be.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And who illustrated this?
It was a lady that the publishing company used. They asked me what kind of illustrations I wanted. Did I want realistic ones or other ones that weren't so realistic? And I wanted ones that looked realistic. Mm-hmm. And so they pulled from the artists that they knew. They pulled her. And I was really happy. I wanted to be sure that they used a cottonwood tree because a cottonwood tree was one of the really important trees that I got to know and just came to love so much. And so I sent the publishing company a picture of a beautiful cottonwood tree that's on the property I used to own just north of Aztec. Mm-hmm. And it's an older tree that used to be just lots of limbs, but it's gotten older and it's lost limbs. And one of the limbs, it was dead. It was sticking out there, but it was in the photo. And I noticed as she drew the picture that she included that dead limb. And I thought, oh my gosh, it really does look like the tree that I sent the photo of.
Oh, that's great, because I know you have a special relationship with those particular trees out at that place you used to live.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And in the book, they've put a face on the tree.
I know. I wondered how they were going to capture the tree's emotion, because there is, that is talked about in the, in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sent me the photos or the artwork just to take a look at it and see what I thought, oh my goodness, that was just genius.
Yes.
That she did that, because of course it gives a way to show emotion on the part of the tree.
Yeah, I think she really captured the spirit of that.
I think she did.
Yes.
I've never met her. I've never talked to her, but I loved what she did.
Mm-hmm, me too. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about it? Who are the characters in there?
Okay. The two characters, I just made them up. One is Francisco. He's kind of a sort of a Latino sort of guy. And the other one is Katie. And she's got auburn hair, and they're both 7 years old. And I don't know where I got the word Katie, but Francisco, I was really trying to pull on the thought of the love of nature. So, of course, I thought of St. Francis.
Oh, right.
And then I also thought of Francisco because I have a wonderful, wonderful handyman who just is very, very caring and very loving. And can I tell you how I met him?
Sure.
Because that sort of plays into this this wonderful sense of the value of the kind of person I wanted to include in the book. So a friend and I were taking turns mowing the weeds around a church where I used to go, and she was doing it in the morning, and then I relieved her about noon. It was a very hot day, and so I was out there mowing and mowing and mowing, and I thought, oh man, I don't think I'm going to be able to make one more trip around this huge yard. But I went as far as I could, and then all of a sudden I looked over to the side, and there was this monster lawnmower mowing right beside me. And I guess I didn't hear him because my lawnmower was making so much noise. And there he was, just mowing. And he said, I saw you in the morning. He thought I was the other person. I saw you in the morning, and I said to the person who's with me, when we come back this afternoon, if they're still there, I'm going to stop and help. And that's what he did. Oh. And the lady who was there helping him, she brought me an ice cold bottle of water.
Oh,
it felt so good. And this was Francisco. Oh. And in 5 or 10 minutes, he had finished that whole thing that would have taken me forever to do.
Oh.
No charge. He just did it out of the goodness of his heart.
Oh, that's great.
And so I thought, Francisco Lopez, that's what his name is. And I thought, okay, that would be a wonderful name, not only St. Francis, but the spirit of people who operate like Francisco does.
Right. Very nice. That just makes it mean that much more.
Yeah.
So these characters, this boy and girl that are seven.
Mm-hmm.
Were they friends before this?
Yeah, they knew each other, but they didn't really recognize how much they love trees. And they knew they liked to be around trees, and they didn't realize that each one of them could really kind of, when they were around trees, they could just almost hear them with their hearts. And that was a revelation to the two of them that somebody else besides themselves could actually sense what trees were feeling or thinking or whatever trees do, picking up on that.
Yeah, it's wonderful how they reveal to each other how they feel the tree in their heart.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, before this, you had an award-winning young adult novel.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about The Healing Tree.
Oh, yeah. The Healing Tree is, I tell people it's for ages 9 to 100, because adults like to read these kinds of books, too.
Absolutely.
So it's set just across the street from where I used to live, north of Aztec.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about these three kids on their way to summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think they know each other, but they discover that through time they've been chased by this evil woman.
Oh.
And she wants their blood so she can stay young. And because it matches theirs pretty well. And she wants their amazing connection with nature, like trees, the river, birds, so she can control the world. Because that's what she wants. She wants to control everything. And so they get to camp, and she's waiting for them. And as they run from her, they crash into this cottonwood tree. And it is a time-traveling tree. And all of a sudden, they find themselves 900 years in the past at the site of this Pueblo village that once sat where the summer camp does now. And so then it goes into some cultural and historic things. And the evil woman discovers how to use the tree as well.
Uh-oh.
And so she follows them into the past.
Oh.
And so then it becomes, how are these three kids going to believe in themselves and in their abilities and work together well so they can stop this woman from ruining the world?
Oh, I love that. It sounds very intriguing. We talked earlier about the healing with trees.
Right.
Finding a path to wholeness. So
yeah.
You've since then expanded into fiction.
Yeah, the first one I did was The Healing Tree.
Right.
Yeah. And then,
oh, the first one was The Healing Tree.
Yeah. And then a couple of years later, I wrote Healing with Trees, Finding a Path to Wholeness. And I was just using a lot of the things that I'd learned from being around trees. And then just kind of meditating around them was allowing me to kind of tune into some wisdom that was pretty amazing, I thought. And so the last half of the book deals with some of those things that I picked up from that time. And there's tools and exercises for everyday living in there.
So what is next on your writing agenda?
Well, some time ago I wrote an e-book about Reiki.
Oh.
And I put all the different, it's when you learn Reiki, you learn Reiki 1, then Reiki 2, and then there's, depending on how you teach it, then there's a Reiki master section that you can teach. And I put them all in one ebook, and I really was not too happy with that. I want to change it so that it's there's three books, Reiki 1, Reiki 2, and then the Reiki master. And I'd like to make those into like paperback books and also ebooks.
Great.
So it's just a matter of figuring out how I'm going to do that on my mind right now.
Yes. You talk about Reiki in the Healing with Trees.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have several books on your website.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Margaret Cheesebro, CHEASEBRO.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So listeners can go there and find the book. So if listeners want If I Were a Tree to read to their children or have their children read it, where would they find it?
Okay, well, the publishing company has set up a website for me, which is really nice.
Great.
And it's long. It's the HTTPS, I think. www.ifiwereatreewhatwouldibe.com.
Okay.
The whole title.
The whole title. If I were a tree, what would I be.com.
Yeah. But I think you have to put the HTTPS there or you won't end up getting where you want to go.
Okay. Could you read a little bit from the book for us?
Of course. I'd be happy to. Wonder if I should start at the beginning or...
Sure. I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Hi, Francisco. Come walk with me while I visit one of my tree friends. You like trees? I had no idea, Katie. So do I. I have talks with my tree friends, said Katie. I hear them with my heart. That's where I hear them, too. Francisco sounded excited. I love this meadow. See that big cottonwood, Francisco? That's Grandfather Tree, one of my favorite trees. What a huge trunk! And there are so many big leafy branches, said Francisco. This tree must be very old. And very wise. We like each other, Katie smiled at the tree. I think it's cool to have tree friends, said Francisco. If I were a tree, I would be your friend, Katie told him. If I were a tree, I would be your friend too, Francisco thought for a moment. But I already am your friend. Katie smiled. The tree is happy that we're friends. My heart feels warm like sunshine. My heart feels good too, Francisco said with a grin. I'm glad the tree likes me. Grandfather Tree, we'll play in the meadow under your branches, said Katie. We'll make pretty designs with rocks in your shade, Francisco told the tree. I'll make a chain of flowers to string around your trunk, Katie added. If I were a tree, I would say thank you by singing to you as the wind whistled through my leaves. Francisco cocked his head. Listen, I hear the song. Sometimes at night it feels like I'm snuggled in the tree's branches, being rocked to sleep. Katie closed her eyes and thought about how good that felt. I would sit up there on that big branch and tell funny stories so the tree wouldn't get lonely, said Francisco. If I were a tree, I'd listen to your stories and laugh at the funny parts, Katie replied. I wonder what a tree sounds like when it laughs, said Francisco. Maybe its leaves rustle like a giggle. Sometimes I tell the tree what makes me sad, Katie said quietly. If I were a tree, I would know when you are sad and give you a hug with my branches, Francisco replied. Katie nodded. If the tree had a little sore, I would put a bandage on the sore. I would kiss the tree and say, get well soon. If I were a tree, I would be happy to see you coming, Francisco said. Oh, can you feel that in your heart? The tree likes having us as friends. I feel like I'm glowing inside, Katie said. I love this feeling.
It's great the way the kids express themselves to each other through that.
Oh, thank you.
And don't you think that kids around that age and even younger actually are more sensitive to things like the trees?
I think so. Yeah, I do. I think they are. And I think kids today, maybe even more so, are a little bit like that.
Right. It's interesting because it's so real. I mean, they're hesitant to say, yeah, I do like trees. Me too.
Yeah.
How they come together and enhance their friendship.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, it's thanks. Very good. Thanks. And that all came out at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, it just flowed.
I love that when it happens.
Yes.
It doesn't that often, but
yeah.
Yes.
Very you have good. To have the right stimulus there. And
you do. So you're working on another or organizing your other Reiki books.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that. I've gone through them all mm-hmm. and kind of updated them, but it's been a little while, and I need to go back and do that, and I need to contact someone I worked with before who can draw a nice cover for each of the three books.
And what about more tree books?
I'm not sure about that. I haven't come up with an idea that's compelling me yet, mm-hmm. but who knows?
Who knows? I hope so. I think that with the tree books, they kind of do come through inspiration from the trees themselves, I think.
Oh, yes, I think so. And I like to think that that lovely cottonwood tree that I call the grandfather tree and sometimes the healing tree,
mm-hmm.
the one that I sent a picture of it to the publishing company, yes. I like to think that maybe it would be happy to know that it was remembered.
I believe so. So did you find a lot of difference? I know that you say you wrote this through inspiration and the young adult novel. How do you write for young adult, differentiating how you write for children?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm sure there are word charts you can use. I just didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just tried not to use really big words.
Right, right.
You know, words that people could easily read. And then with this one, If I Were a Tree, What Would I Be, is for 5 to 10-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tried to use simple language and shorter sentences and things like that.
Right. And I can, you say 5 to 10-year-olds, but I can easily see a little younger child sitting on mom's lap having this book read to them because it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's so many pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one page in here where there is no picture. There's just kind of a watercolor background. And that, people, if they buy the book, then the kids can draw a picture of their favorite tree.
Oh, I like that.
And it'll be part of the book.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I would just like to say that, you know, some people might be really skeptical about how can you, you know, be around trees and kind of feel something that just makes you feel good, makes you feel relaxed, makes you just feel better. But I think a really good way to sort of just enjoy being around trees is to go down the river walkway that runs through Farmington that's so beautiful. And just take time standing near some trees and choose one. And just, you may feel awkward about this, but just if it's a tree that you think is beautiful, just tell it how beautiful it looks. Because trees really like to be acknowledged. I mean, we all like to be acknowledged.
Right.
And they like to be recognized for some of the things that they do. I mean, all the shade they provide and the nests for birds. So, you know, they have places that they can build nests in the trees and providing oxygen and taking in the carbon dioxide. And, I mean, all the different things that they do. If you just stand by a tree and be thankful. Just mm-hmm. be thankful to it. Say, thank you, tree, for all that you do. And then don't just walk off. Just stay there and wait for a little while and just sort of be aware of the tree and see if you don't sense something in your heart that might just, who knows what it could be. It could be thank you. It could mm-hmm. be a sense of love. It could be just relaxing, giving yourself time to just maybe meditate in a way by talking to the tree. It's a different form of meditation than we sometimes think of, but what it does is it calms your mind and you're not rushing on to the next thing. You're giving yourself time to just spend time in that one spot with that one tree.
I tended to be a little skeptical until I read Healing with Trees and talked with you about that.
Uh-huh.
And it's a matter of just opening up and putting aside doubts and skepticism and just saying, I mean, they're living creatures.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Why do they not? I mean, of course they're going to have a consciousness.
Yeah.
And that's great. Yeah, with that one book, I think it opened up a whole realm of communication for
mm-hmm.
me.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I know my publisher was going through, it was a different publisher than this picture book, but she was going through a rather difficult time, and she said, you know what, I just read that book almost every day because it's really touching me and helping me get through this tough spot. So
I can see why, yeah.
Yeah, and I do sell my books at Petco. I'm there Sunday afternoon and Wednesday afternoon from about, say, 12:30 to 2, maybe a little earlier, 12 maybe, but 12:30 to 2 pretty regularly on Sundays and Wednesdays. And it's really interesting to watch people come by. If they really like trees, they are drawn to that book, Healing with Trees, Finding a Path to Wholeness. I watch and think, oh my gosh, there are people who love trees and they just gravitate toward it. And I'm thankful and very
yes.
grateful that they sense that there's something there for them.
That's great. I can see that that would be a good place because they're open to the animals, perhaps, and that's a step toward that. Well, great. It's been such a pleasure talking with you and reading your books. I appreciate you coming into the studio.
Oh, you are welcome. You're very, very easy to talk with.
Thank you.
I just relax and don't even worry about things when I'm talking with
good,
you.
Good, good. That's a high compliment. I appreciate that. And so people can find you at margaretcheesebro.com or https. If I were a tree, what would I be.com?
Yeah, and I think you might have to put the www in there too. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Going to have to experiment with that.
Okay, great.
Or you could go to Balboa Press, Balboa Press.
Okay.
.com, and you can find it there as well.
Great. Okay, well, thank you again for coming in.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And that was Margaret Cheesebro in the studio with me talking about her latest children's book, If I Were a Tree, What Would I Be? This is Tracy Hales Vass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico.